Truly, God does still answer prayer. And He's our God. He's not afar off. Thank the Lord for Him and His wonderful blessings to mankind today. I believe that none of us like a job that's not done very well. If you hire somebody to do a job on your house and they don't do it well, you don't like it. If we try to get a piece of equipment that's not put together well, we don't like it. We want it to be done well. We want it to be to accomplish its purpose. And this morning, I think God would want to tell us, if we're here, all of us that are here today, the Lord would have us, if you want to serve Him, well then serve Him all the way. Because it doesn't work doing it halfway. We're not going to make it. It's not going to be pleasant for you or anyone else around you if you try to straddle the fence on this one. We need to serve the Lord with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. We need to love Him with all we have. And our neighbor and our fellow man the same way. This morning I'm thinking about, I'm thinking about the possibility that in this day of life that we're living in, that we may become, there's a possibility that we may become complacent and not get all that the Lord would have us to get. I believe there's land ahead of all of us, and I think the Lord would have us to have an eager desire in our heart to go get that land. Now the Lord blesses people and He brings us to places of victory. But that place of victory that we have found in the Lord is likely not the place that He wants us to camp out the rest of our life. They got over into, I'm thinking of Caleb right now, they got over into the land of Canaan. They crossed the river Jordan and got over there, and the Lord began to give them their inheritance. And you remember what Caleb said. He said, you remember those folks that scared us bad? That mountain where they lived, that the Anakims lived over in that mountain. He said, when I saw them the first time, I saw their greatness and I saw their power. And I came home and I looked back at you, Lord, and I believed what you said. And I believed that land was mine. And we came back, and there was a number of the spies that came back after looking at that land. They came back and said, we're like grasshoppers in their eyes. But Caleb said, we are well able. And Caleb, after they got over into that land and there were still the giants over in that mountain, Caleb said, now I'm, what was he, 80-some, 84 years old, I believe. And he said, I want that mountain. I don't know about how many 84-year-olds feels that vigorous, but there was something in his mind that day. He said, give me that mountain. He was unsatisfied with just being on the other side of Jordan. He was unsatisfied with leaving any enemies around. He wanted those that scared everybody else. Give me that mountain. And the Lord gave it to him. And I fear sometimes that we might become complacent as humans. And we might see difficulties in front of us and we might decide, well, the place I'm living now is sufficient. I believe I'll just stay here and camp out and build my house right here when the Lord doesn't really want us to stay there. He's got more land for us today. And I want to encourage us to look forward today and see a land ahead. Over in Hebrews, the third chapter, maybe I want to start here. Talking to the children of Israel, I believe Brother Paul was talking with them here in the Hebrew letter. Talking to them about a place that they had in Christ, that though they had come into a certain amount of promise, there's certain things that they got through the Judaic law and they were following that, but yet that wasn't the land that the Lord wanted them to always claim. That was always speaking of something that was to come, and that was going to be in, that was to be in Christ. So in the 12th verse, He says to them, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." There was something that the Lord held before them. There was a hope that was standing before them, and God didn't want these brethren to return back as those of old. Remember when they came out of Egypt, and I want to recount some of that this morning. But I want to pick up this little passage right now, this little thought. When they came out of the land of Egypt and they went over, they were headed for Canaan, and the spies went over and they came back with a report of it is indeed a good land. It's a wonderful land. It'd sure be good to have it. But we're too small. It's just too difficult, too hard to get there. And God said that was an evil heart of unbelief. They were backslidden in heart. They were not wanting to gain what the Lord had for them. Not only is what the Lord had for them, it's what the Lord had promised them. And they allowed their ideas, their human thinking, hinder them from gaining that good land. So Brother Paul was talking to the people here and he said, don't be like that. Don't have that evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, because God has a promise. God has given us great and mighty promises. And I would like now to go over here perhaps in the book of Deuteronomy. But over here in the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, maybe we're going to start with the first verse here. All the commandments which I commanded thee this day will ye observe. This is Moses now talking to the children of Israel. They're getting ready. They were perched on the other side of Jordan, getting ready to go over into the promised land. Believe me, this was a land that God wanted to take them to. The land wasn't Egypt, nor was the land that God had promised them. It wasn't Egypt, nor was the land the desert between. That wasn't their land. It wasn't intended to be their land. And here they were perched on the edge. 40 years had passed now, because there were people that had first looked at that land and said, it is indeed good, I'd love to have it. And they drew back in unbelief. And they were punished for 40 years, wandering in that wilderness, dealing with life in a desert area, not having the fullness of the blessing, when they could look right across and see the other side. It wasn't very far over there. No way they needed 40 years to get there. But they didn't claim it because they didn't believe it was theirs. They didn't believe God's word. And here they stood with a bemoaning heart, saying, oh, I wish I could have it. But they didn't pay the price. They were unwilling to obey the Lord. And God was angry with them, not because they were small, not because they were insufficient in themselves. He wasn't angry at them because of that. He was angry at them because they didn't believe Him. He said, I want to take you. He promised it to them. And they fell short of it. For 40 years, the Lord let them wander around out there till that generation was gone. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swear unto your fathers. The Lord swear unto your fathers. This was something that God Himself was interested in giving these people. It was the land of promise. Maybe we can go on down here. Well, now let's go ahead and keep on reading. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wilt keep His commandments or not, or no. And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that ye might make, that He might make thee know that which doth not live. No, I'm sorry. that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. It's going down here. Sixth verse. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of waters, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive and honey, oil, olive, and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. And the land whose stones are iron. Anyway, it's a good land, a place that the Lord wanted to bring. It's a land of promise. Much was there for them. It was intended to be their land. This was their land. The Lord took them there, didn't he? All of them? Do you know there was 2.5 tribes didn't live over there? Dan, not Dan. Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh didn't live there. Remember that? I want to recount some things here. I want to think about what the Lord had did. The Lord had delivered his people from Egypt and its sinful oppression. Folks, there's a lot of types. There's a lot of learning we can get when we observe what the Lord did for those brethren, for those people back then, and the things that they gained and the things that they didn't gain. There's some observation, there's some types, there's some shadows, there's some things that's meant for our learning today. And as we observe what happened, the Lord brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they were oppressed many times. The people, when we find people oppressed in sin, they would like to blame everybody else but the sin that they love. They didn't. I don't believe the children of Israel. I don't think they recognized that it was perhaps their sin and the things that they were involved with over there. I know that they were crying out to the Lord. I understand that, but it's a type of sin. I don't think they recognized they had almost gotten accustomed to living like a slave. That was their life. That was their identity. And they had almost accepted it. They mourned in their sin, or they mourned in their state. They wished they could leave, but they couldn't. They didn't know a way out. But then the Lord brought Moses. The Lord brought Moses with a gospel message to them. He said, let my people go. The message that Moses came first, he shared it with the people, the Israelite people. Were they able to receive it? At first, it was impossible. It was a dream that was beyond their comprehension. Their faith hadn't risen to that yet. But the Lord started showing mighty things to them. Began to reveal to them how great and how mighty he was to them. And their faith began to elevate, and they began to say that maybe it is so. One plague after another, one interaction that the Lord showed himself to them after another, and how he made a distinction between them and the Egyptians. How the Lord showed to them that this is not your native home. And he began to call them, and their spirits began to rise to believe that God himself had a plan for them. And I want to tell you today, if you're here today and you feel like the devil has captured you and brought you in a place of that you just feel like you can't get out of that, I hope today that your faith rises up and begins to understand that God has a land for you. God has a place beyond where we are today. God has a place of deliverance. And those people, it was hard for them to receive that message. Maybe they could almost receive that message. Maybe it was for somebody else. But today the message is for us. Today, that day, that message was for the children of Israel. And they began to receive it, and hope began to build. Enough faith they had that when God told them that I want you to sacrifice the best lamb you have without blemish, and you put that the blood on the doorpost, they believed it and obeyed unto redemption. They did that. They obeyed. And you remember how they began to flee. And as they were pushed out, folks, when we turn to the Lord, the sin doesn't like us anymore. We don't like it either. And they moved out. The people moved out of Egypt, began to go out into, they headed toward the Red Sea. And here they were. They weren't completely delivered yet, but they were in the process. The Lord was delivering them from their oppressors. And as they were fleeing, they came to the place of the Red Sea, and the enemy had a change of heart and began to follow hard after them. You know the story. And they came there, and it was like they were captured here. They had no way to turn. The enemy was behind, and there was all obstacles on every side of them, and they had no, and here they were. Look like you just brought us out here to fail. We're going to die. I want to tell you, dear ones, when we're in that place, it's time to look up. Because God's still true to His Word. Here they were at this situation. Their faith was at a low ebb. They were complaining, feeling like we're not going to make it this time. And the Lord said, look and see these Egyptians. It's following you. It's the last time you're going to have to worry about them. It's it. Because the Lord's here. Told Moses to lift up his rod upon the obstacle that was before them. And I want to tell you, the Lord, this I believe is a type of the very baptism of the blood of Jesus Christ as we go through the Red Sea. Folks, God wants us to go through to plunge in the fountain that's filled with blood and allow it to cleanse our hearts, to wipe away our sin, to wash away all that's unlike Christ. And they came to that place, this Red Sea, and they wrestled with themselves and all the fears and all the doubts. But I want to tell you, when the Lord made the way, they went through. And the Lord delivered them that day. And the very thing that was their avenue of deliverance and change in them, that very thing that seemed so difficult to cross, they went through well. But it was a thing that destroyed those that tried to follow. I want to tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ will hold a great destruction for sin. All when Pharaoh tries to follow us, I want to tell you, it'll drown him. The blood of Jesus Christ will drown these things that come after us if we follow after the Lord. Look up in faith. There is a God of deliverance yet today. He's not only able to heal and heal people's bodies, which we've seen. And our encouragement this morning is great because the Lord has done these things. But oh, let it come down that He heals the souls of mankind also. He changes and heals people. Well, the children of Israel then came. Lord increased their faith that they might receive and obey. They went, they fled Egypt. They came to their deliverance through the Red Sea. The Lord said, "You won't see these enemies anymore." Remember what the Lord did. Through the Red Sea crossing, though the Red Sea crossing was a mighty deliverance, it was not yet the promised land. It wasn't the goal. It was the beginning. It was a process. It was a start. There was a victory that the Lord was effecting in their life. And this was part of it. And I don't think the Lord ever intended for them to take 40 years to get to the other side. I don't believe it. It wasn't the will of the Lord. The Lord wanted them to go ahead and go through the experiences of the desert, but He wanted them to get there to the other shore. There's one more river to cross. There's one more obstacle that God wanted to bring them to and through. and bring them to a land of promise. Numbers 32. If you don't mind, I'm going to read it off of my phone. It's easier for me to read. Number 32. I'm going to read the first verse and then the fourth and fifth of Numbers 32. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. Now, this was after they had come through the Red Sea and had begun their journey over to the land of promise. And on the way, all these things happened that prevented them from gaining that land. And you remember the children of Israel, they was over there close to the Jordan. And you remember that there were some kings, was the Moabites and the... Anyway, they came out against them. And they had to battle. And they overcame. The children of Israel overcame. The Lord gave them victory. And they got this land. They inherited this land over there. And that was the land that Reuben, Numbers 32 and 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. They said, looks good to me. Good pasture land. Maybe this ought to be where we ought to stay. Folks, the best place for us to dwell is in the middle of the will of God. I don't care how good the pasture land might look. Now they had a right to rejoice in the victory that the Lord had given them over that area. They had a right to rejoice in that. They should have. Thank you, Lord, for the great victory. But they're still in home. It's in where I know, Lord, you said, over there's my home. But because of circumstances in their mind, their thinking, we've got a lot of cattle, there's a lot of grass here, this looks like a good place. And they said they wanted it. And the Lord let them have it. Fourth verse. Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, this is the land that they wanted, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. To me, that's a sad comment. Because hadn't the Lord told them all there's a land flowing with milk and honey? Hadn't the Lord held before them the blessings of this other place, of the other land across Jordan? And here they were, and they said, I think I'm going to be satisfied right here without ever going over there. They asked this before they ever got there. They hadn't even looked at the land themselves. They had said, I think this is good enough. Lord, help us each one not to be satisfied with a land less than what God wants us to have. Nor do I want us to forget right now that the land they were living in, the Lord had given them by conquest. The Lord had blessed them. But that wasn't the place that the Lord wanted them. Thank God for your victories that you have along the road. But don't be satisfied with that one. Because the Lord yet wants to take us forward in our life. I believe there's other places in all of our lives that the Lord wants us to get greater victories in. I think the Lord wants us to build some castles on the enemy's land. You know, you understand what I'm saying? There's some mountains perhaps that has giants in our life. And they scare us to look at them today. But oh, the faith of God should rise up within our heart and say, but that's my land. That's the Lord that's promised to me. and I'm unsatisfied living less. And the Lord wants us to go there and possess that land. Spiritually, I'm talking about here today. There's places in our lives that the Lord brings us to and reveals places that He wants our tents, our place of dwelling to be spread out. Put the stakes out there a little bit farther today. Understand there's a land beyond where I am today. Let's not become complacent, nor retract into a place of unbelief. There's so many people today would try to say to us that we are intended to be a slave to our old self and old flesh the rest of our lives. I want to tell you that's not what the Bible says. That's a desert land experience at best. It may be an Egyptian land experience. But God would have us not only be delivered from sin, from the land of Egypt, He would have us to pass through the area, the desert, the wilderness, and come with confidence to a swollen Jordan and say, I don't know how to get across this river. It's okay to wonder how I'm going to get there, but to look on the other side and say, I know that's my land and I want it today. I want that victory in my life. And I want to tell you today, to me, it's a sad comment to realize that there were people, tribes back then, that had seen the Lord give great victories, and yet they were satisfied to stay on the wrong side of Jordan. There's dangers to that, dear ones. There's dangers to be on the wrong side of Jordan. Do you know how many... Did David come from this lineage? How many mighty men came from Gad? Now, do you know of any in the scripture that rises up? And David wrote Psalms. There's other great and mighty men that came in the scripture. I think it's possible that Gideon may have come. He was a man who. But there wasn't a lot of notable men came from this side of Jordan. And I would take note also that the Syrians conquered these folks that were on this side of Jordan. There was a natural protection that the Lord intended for the Jordan River to be. Folks, the Lord wants us to go across Jordan and claim some land, some holy land. On the other side, there's a land of promise today. And the Lord wants us to have, Lord help us not to claim our heritage on the wrong side of Jordan. It's dangerous. There is a land of holiness that is yet before us. There's a land of rest. And let not any of us be of an evil heart of unbelief that would look back and want to fall back and say, I don't know, I don't think it's, I think it's too hard for me to live over there. The enemies are too great. I'm just a grasshopper. I've fallen under this temptation over and over and over again. I want to tell you today, it's time to call an end to that. Step over into the land. Ask God for grace. Live in His blessing. Live in the place of the hope, of the reality of the land of promise that He has for every one of our souls today. We're not supposed to be vulnerable to sin. We're not supposed to be in the land where the vulnerability, where the Syrians can come up and gather around us and bring us, drag us over into captivity. That's what happened to Gad. That's what happened to Ephraim. Reubenites. And the half-tribe of Manasseh. That's what happened to them. They got captured. And you fast forward down through annals of time. And you remember when Jesus got in a boat and His disciples and they went rowed across the Sea of Galilee? You know what the other side was? That was the east side. You know who they found over there? The Gadarenes. Legion was over there. I don't know whether the region of the Gadarenes had anything to do with the tribe of Gad. I don't know. It's possible that name may have reached down. But that was the area they came from. They went over there. What did they find over there? They'd find temples to the Lord. What did they find? They found a man possessed People loved him, was trying to help him, but they found all that. And you know what else they found over there? Herds of swine. Is that what the Israelites had? Is that what those on the east side of, on the west side of Jordan, is that what they had? Somewhere there had been a corruption happen. Somewhere there was things happen on the wrong side of Jordan, and they went over there and they got corrupted, they got inculcated, they got mixed with some of the Syrians, some of the Grecian, Hellenistic, what they call them. They got the Grecians, they got Hellenized. That word, y'all look it up. Y'all. It has to do with a Greek influence on their lives. They got influenced by that, and they got corrupted, and they got carried away captive and dispersed. Their identity got lost. And today, I don't know whether it's I'm not sure. I think I was trying to look that up, and they, I only think today they can even identify the tribe of Reuben or Gad, either one. These are lost now. Wonder what it would have been like if they'd went ahead and go across the river of Jordan. Had their inheritance in the promised land. Those over there didn't have to suffer the same fate. So, something else that they did. It was commendable that when Moses, and I'm going to recount this story to you because it's in the scripture. If you come to me afterwards and ask me about where did you get that, I'll show you the scriptures. But it's in the scripture that when they got ready to go over there, they came to Moses and said, "Can we want to have our inheritance over here?" I read you part of that. And Moses blessed them and said, "Yes, you can." And they allowed them to stay over on this side. Or was that Joshua allowed them to stay over here on this side? I forget now. Anyway, they stayed over on the east side of Jordan. But they said under this condition, when your brethren go over and onto the other side of Jordan, don't discourage them. Don't make them feel weakened, because if you do that, if you're going to stay here, you're going to discourage your brother. Those brethren need to feel the great support and encouragement. And they said, "We'll do it. We're going to go over there ourselves. We'll be armed. We're going to leave our children and our wives. We're going to leave them over here in these fenced cities. But we're going to go over there armed, and we'll be ready for battle. We'll help y'all gain the victory on that other side." And so they did. And after the Lord had given them victory on the other side, they turned around and to go back home and was allowed to go back there. And there's a place in the scripture that said when they got on the other side, they built them an altar to the Lord after the pattern. There's a problem here. On the west side of Jordan was the temple. On the west side of Jordan was Jerusalem. On the west side of Jordan was a place where people came to because the Lord had put his blessing there. On the west side of Jordan is where they were supposed to dwell. But they lived far enough away that they found it difficult to go over there to the temple to have worship, to blend with their brethren. And in time, I believe, there was a drifting apart. And perhaps in their minds, they thought this was all right to build an altar that was a replica of the one that the Lord wanted them to have over on the west side of Jordan. But do you remember the children of Israel, when they saw that they had built this altar over on the east side, they said, went to the priest and said, "This is wrong. This is a paganistic practice. This is, people are turning their hearts away from the Lord, and the judgment of the Lord is going to come down upon us because of that." Because they remembered when times in the past there had been people who had departed, and you remember the counsel of Balaam? He told them, "Y'all go down there. I can't curse them, but I'll tell you what to do. You go down there and intermarry with them. And as you intermarry with them, you can introduce your gods to them. And they'll be weakened, and their God will be angry." And that's what happened. And what was it? 24,000 died that one day? Because the plague, the Lord was angry with them because this thing had grown and had become and it infested the hierarchy of that system, and they were, and the Lord said, can't let this go. He won't let this go any longer. And you remember there was a plague was sent amongst the people. There's 24,000 of them died that day. Phineas the priest, I believe, it was Phineas. Anyway, went in there and with his spear killed a couple folks, and there was many people died. And then here at this point, the people said, I remember that. And they said, in fact, we're still dealing with that problem yet today. That's still among us. Because they had let themselves get corrupted with this sensitivity of this. They began to give themselves to false gods, and that thing is hard to root out, dear ones. And they had a problem still with that today. And they pointed out Achan. When Achan received the accursed thing, and he said, they said, that man didn't die alone. The rest of us, a lot of us, we paid the price. It's horrible, folks, when we stop short of what God has for us, there's a price to be paid. And it's not just our price. Others around us are affected by that price. So here they came. Now to this place. And they said, you built an altar. Folks, the Lord wants us to live as close to His place of worship as what we can. I'm not talking about this chapel. But God wants us to dwell very near to Him. If we find ourselves trying to put, if we find impediments or roadblocks somewhere between me and the Lord, that I can't easily run to Him in my time of need, if there are places that my confidence in Him is being damaged by things that either I'm doing or feeding my mind on, I'm giving myself to something other than Him, God knows that we have need of occupying ourselves in life, and He hasn't said we can't do that, but be careful how you do it. Put ye first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But if we allow roadblocks, we allow impediments between our relationship, between us and God, folks, God wants us to remove those today because there's a consequence to that. It'll damage us in our soul. It'll damage not only us, but it'll damage our children that we're raising around our knees. Oh, you young couples, you young folks, those the Lord blesses. Not just that, as grandparents, it affects our grandchildren. Let's lay before them a real, pure, true pathway. Let's always speak to them of the promised land and the land that's flowing with milk and honey, the victory that God has for us. Don't be satisfied with a land less than victory. Don't be satisfied with that land, because God wants you and I to fly free from the enemy. He wants to drown him in the blood and all his effects. He also wants to allow the second baptism as they went through. They went through the Jordan, dear ones. It was by faith they grabbed rocks. They grabbed proof that they had been there. From the bottom of that Jordan, they grabbed rocks, one out of every tribe, and carried it over here and laid up a monument. They said, in the years coming, when your children say, what means this pile of rocks? You can tell them I got them from over there in the middle of that Jordan. We were there that day and it was dry. Why was it dry, Grandpa? Because God did it. He brought us into this land. The Lord has brought us to this land of victory. That doesn't mean when we come into the land of victory that there's not an Ai. Nor does it mean there's not a Jericho. Nor does it mean there's not a mountain with Anakins in it. But it means there's victory over there. It does mean that. God wants us to receive His victory today, to see the land of hope, to receive it today, and not allow doubt to say, well, I don't know. Folks, if you live in that land of doubt, you'll never get the victory. Don't camp out on the wrong side of Jordan. Don't be in that area that the will of God is not fully experienced in your life. I found this in relationship to the two tribes that were on the other side of Jordan, 2 Kings 10, 32nd and 33rd verse. Said, in those days the Lord began to cut Israel short. And Hazael smote them in all the coast of Israel, from Jordan eastward, you see, on the other side of Jordan. All the land of Gilead, the Gadites, the Reubenites, and the Manassites. How do you think that happened? You think they'd have lost that victory? You think they wouldn't have gotten victory if they'd have been on the right side? The Lord would have us not to be comfortable dwelling in a place of vulnerability. They were over there in a place that they were exposed to the enemy. God wants us to move on across, to go to this place. And I know, and we talk about sanctification, and folks, I want to tell you, I believe very much in sanctification. God wants us to come to the hard place before us and say, Lord, I want that land. There's a place I believe the Lord to have us to bring, even though I don't need to know everything that I may have to submit to the Lord in the future. But what we have today, what I know today, Lord, I give you my all. Not only do I give you my all today because I want that land. I want to go there. I don't know. In the past, I've been chased by the enemy in the past. I don't know. I'm almost come to place. I believe I can't cross that river. But today, the Lord says, that land is promised for you. That today, that is a land of promise for all His children. And God would not have us being comfortable dwelling on the wrong side of Jordan, because it's a place. It's a place of vulnerability. It's a place of captivity. It's not the promised land. And as they began to move across that, and they found land that they could dwell in, they found that they could raise their children in. There was peace and safety over there. Yes, they still had to deal with the enemy. There were still Jerichos that they big and thick walled, but they got the victory over it, dear ones. Today, may the Lord help our faith to rise to His promise and lay hold on it and say, Lord, that's where I want to dwell. I want to be there. Oh, I see the land of promise before me, and Lord, I give my all to Thee. I give my all that I know now and all that may come in the future. It's my intent, it's my heart's desire to not to draw back on anything, Lord. Whatever You show me, whatever You require of me, whatever Your loving hand, however it's leading me, Lord, I want to walk in that way because I want all that's in that land. Because in that land, indeed, it's sufficient. It's sufficient for our soul. There are springs there. There's, you won't have to, what was it, the description I read earlier about that land? It's fields of barley, fields of wheat. You won't have to want for bread. Now, over there in the desert, you had some problems, but not on this side. Not over here. Over here, there's springs, there's wells of water. Don't have to strike a rock and break it open and water flow out. That, over here, the Lord's provided something greater. You can raise your children on this side. You can tell them, this is where we want to be, children. This is home. It's our spiritual home. Today, I want to encourage us. Now, this has spiritual implications to us. I believe this has to do with how we might understand our victories today. I understand that right now that we live in a world that would try to tell us over and over and over again that we must still be a slave. The Lord can wash us by His blood and forgive us, and we live under forgiveness and a grace that just covers everything, and you're going to go ahead and sin more or less every day. And I want to tell you, that's not the land. That's not the promised land. That's not the promised land. There is a land that the Lord wants to bring you and I to. or we don't accept the identity of a not the promised land. We don't, God does not want us to accept the identity of defeat. Let us be like Caleb and look at the land before us and say, yes, that looks like a giant to me. And perhaps when I was 40 years old, I felt good and strong and invigorated, and I wanted to take them on then. But here, another 40 years afterwards, 84-year-old now, man, he said, I still feel like I did back then. Give me that land. Can't we be like Caleb today? And again, it's not in our own strength. You know why? I can't believe today that Caleb's arm strength was the same as it was when he was a 40-year-old man. But you know where his strength really was? It was in God. He may have flexed his muscles and said, I thank the Lord still there. Oh, yes. Give me that mountain. If your faith today is in your willpower and your ability to try to affect something, I'm going to tell you, you're going to fail. God does want us to swing the sword, don't get me wrong. But you're not going to get the victory without the Lord's intervention. And God wants you and I today to look at the mountain or the problem before us and recognize that there is a place of victory for us, every one of us. There's none left behind here. And I want to encourage you today, if you're living on the other side of Jordan, come over. Come over on the other side. There's a promised land. There's victory and there's hope. And God would have all of us dwelling there. There's a place of victory for every one of us. The part of what I had at the beginning was this in my mind. I had it titled here, The Dangers of Dwelling on the Wrong Side of Jordan. Then I got to thinking there's a whole lot more than just dangers. There's also the fact. It's not just the danger. And that is, it's dangerous. That's what we should recognize that. But there's also joys in going on the other side of Jordan. Oh, there's a place. There's a place of dwelling, of broad dwelling, of broad streams, of plenteous to eat. Places of dwelling with the Lord. What was it, Jesus? Not Jesus. What was it that was in the psalm that talked about? What? No, one of the psalms in the Bible where it talked about us going over and you'll find, in the New Testament it's stated like this. You should go in and out and find pasture. But over in the 23rd Psalm it talked about us beside still waters. He'd lead us beside still waters. There's a place of rest, and there remaineth still. That they had back then was good. The Canaan was good. And the Judaic law was good. It brought them to a certain place, but there remained still something greater ahead of them. There remaineth yet a rest for the people of God. And the promised land is not just that literal Canaan back there. It's just not just the west side of Jordan, but there's a spiritual land that the Lord looks, points out in front of every one of us and says, this is my place. This is my dwelling. This is a promise for you. And by faith today, may we look at it and say, Lord, I want it. I want that. I want everything. Folks, it's not worthy. It's not worth doing this halfway. Do it all the way. Give your all to the Lord. God wants us to gain this victory, to gain this land. And I'm not saying you won't have to keep it by, you're going to have to do some battle over there. But there is a land for us to dwell in, to camp out in, to call home, to start building some houses on, lay some foundations and say, this is where I'm staying. This is home. I'm not going back here anymore. Talk to me about leeks and garlics all you want to, but I found something better. Talk to me about all the melons. I've got sweeter ones over here. Don't need those anymore. It's a precious land. And I want to encourage you today to look at it and realize that, Lord, this is the place that you want me to dwell. And say, I want to be there. I want to live there. We want to live with the Lord. Pray for me today.
Because this land that the Lord has for every one of us is not just yours, it's mine. And we have to contend for this faith. We have to, the kingdom of God, serve the violence and the violent, take it by force. There's some intent, there's some purpose. And today every one of us need to renew our purpose. And I want the land. Give it to me, Lord. Give me victory. May the Lord bless each and every one.